Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. It is the day after Mother's Day. Mother's Day is a big day. I ran across a video by comedian Jim Gaffigan, and he said, we ought to honor mothers. That's important to honor mothers on Mother's Day, and it really sets the tone for Father's Day month, and he was making the case for Father's Day month, obviously just being funny there. But we did honor moms yesterday. I wanted to play a video in the service, but it wasn't, the quality wasn't great in a big room, and so it was difficult, and this lady, I didn't know who she was. My daughter sent me the video. She talks really fast, but it is so funny, and I did play it for some ladies, and they said, you know, what makes this funny is that's how a woman's brain tends to work. It's just kind of, you know, a woman, she has a brain that kind of sees everything at the same time. A man is a lot more compartmentalized, but this is a post-Mother's Day video. Well, actually audio for you, but I think you'll get the sentiment.
Here's the thing. For Mother's Day, all that I really want is like a break because I'm tired. I don't want to do anything or go anywhere unless it's like really nice out. I might want to do something. So, you know, it might just depend on the day. I just want a nap and a little bit of space, but not too much space. Might just depend on the hour, you know, kind of feel me out, but not too much. Give me space. really, don't make a big deal out of it. Just like a little bit of a deal, not a huge deal, just the right amount, a deal. I really don't need much. I don't even need like gifts. I just need a card along with like a little gift, just like the right size gift. Doesn't have to be a lot, you know? I need everybody together and happy, but not too close. Like I said, just a little bit of space. I'd like to maybe go on a walk, but I need all attitudes to be like agreeable to that walk. And I know you can't like control attitudes, but I'd like you to. I'm kidding, but I'm not. I just want it to be like a really nice day, but not too much pressure. Just like the perfect day, but it doesn't have to be. It's just another day. And I know that, and I don't care. I care a lot, but I don't really care that much. I'm just tired. You know, like I said, I just appreciate you guys. I need you to appreciate me. That's it. That's all. Oh, and don't worry about flowers, but I will worry about them. If they don't come, I will cry. If they do come, I will cry. I'm kidding. You're going to cry. We're all going to cry. Not a big deal. Remember, it's not a big deal. I don't care, but you should care. But again, really nothing. I don't want anything but everything. So, okay.
So that was the Mother's Day video. We got a big kick out of that in our family. And anyway, I hope you enjoyed it. But it's just kind of a funny little TikTok that somebody put together. I didn't know the lady's name, but I thought she was very clever. Well, I woke up this morning, and I don't know about you, but when I wake up in the morning, it's a good day when I'm waking up and I'm immediately thinking about a scripture verse. You know, the Bible says that Psalm 119, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so when you hide God's word in your heart, you have it with you. And so when I go to sleep at night, I'll be thinking about a scripture verse or a passage that I memorized and go over that in my mind as I go to bed. Well, I woke up this morning and 1 Corinthians chapter 6 was in my mind and in my heart, where it says, flee immorality. Every other sin a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price? Therefore, glorify your Father in heaven. Glorify God in heaven. And so I was thinking about that. You know, I've been bought with a price, and I don't belong to myself anymore. I belong to the Lord. Now, interesting, when you think about being bought with a price, you know, the Bible, some versions of the Bible soften the Greek word doulos, which means slave, and they change that. They don't translate it slave, they translate it servant. And we are not the Lord's hired servants. We are his blood-bought slaves, his children. And Jesus said in John 15, no longer do I call you slave, but I call you sons, your children. And so somebody could say, well, we're not slaves, we're sons. And that's true. But all the writers in the New Testament, when they refer to themselves, they refer to themselves as bond slaves. Jude, a bondslave of Jesus Christ. Jude is the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in Jesus' family. He was born of Mary and Joseph, but he refers to himself as the bondslave, as the doulos of Jesus Christ. Paul, the doulos of Jesus Christ. Peter, the doulos of Jesus Christ. And so remember that as you go about your day. Hey, I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. And I am his. I'm his slave. And he also calls me his son. And here's a great verse to live by each day. Psalm 40, verse 16. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you, and let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. The Lord be magnified. Question for today. Are you seeking the Lord? I don't know what's going on in your life. It may be very, very difficult. You may have gotten some terrible news just in the last few days on a test at the doctor's office, and you're facing all kinds of procedures and chemo or whatever, and you're just finding it hard to rejoice. Let all who seek you, this is a prayer, God, let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Listen, if you're going through a hard time in life, just know this is the best time for you to shine and share. Because anybody can praise God when everything's going well. It's when the bottom drops out and you're still praising God, you're still trusting God, you're still rejoicing in the Lord. You don't rejoice in circumstances because circumstances can be terrible, but you can always rejoice in the Lord. He's the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever. And so we can rejoice in him. When you do that in the midst of difficulty and trouble and problems, people take notice. They may not tell you they take notice, but they do. They watch that and they say, wow, there must be something to this person's Christianity. There must be something to this person's faith because they still have joy in the midst of this disaster. They still have peace in the midst of this disaster. So remember, if you're going through a difficult time, this is God's opportunity that he's afforded you to really make a difference in your circle. As you shine, as you share, as you're there, maybe it is a physical situation and you're going to be around a lot of nurses and hospital people and doctors. You can have that winsome attitude, that faith-filled attitude that says, my eyes are fixed on Jesus. And as the Lord says, a great verse to remember when you're going through trouble, Isaiah 43, verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will a flame burn you, for I am the Lord. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Isaiah 43, verses 2 and 3. Those are great verses to have down in your heart. They can minister to you, especially during the hard times. Well, I was reviewing some clips in the last day or so, and I saw a clip. You know, Bill Maher has his program on Friday, and some listeners get upset with me because they say I cherry-pick Bill Maher, but Bill Maher is a big-time liberal. He's an atheist, agnostic, doesn't have, you know, any regard for the Lord, doesn't believe the Lord exists. But he has not checked his brains at the door on some of these things that we're dealing with in our country and in the Democratic Party. And he was talking about what is going on college campuses. You know, they're rioting again and protesting again, and they're always on the side of Hamas, and they're always against Israel. This is what he had to say on his program.
At an AOC Bernie Sanders rally in Idaho last month, someone threw a Palestinian flag over an American flag, and the crowd erupted in approval. What should have happened after that is one of the adults on stage should have told their young loyal followers, this is not a symbol of freedom. This is.
he shows the American flag. Obviously, they like that.
The thought leaders in the Democratic Party keep encouraging and not rebuking the idea that America is cringe and the people who run Gaza are great. The Democrats are doomed. Alyssa Slotkin's right. Liberals are weak and woke, especially the white ones, and they indulge all sorts of nonsense from their kids, a pattern that then continues on in the Democratic Party. Last election, it was all the gender stuff, the insistence that men can have babies and such, and now I fear that we like the terrorists is the new that. Liberals need to push back on the dumb ideas that come from their children. The Democrats' problem is the energy of the party is with the young and the young are with the terrorists. That's not good. So talk to your children and remind them you don't really want to live like your heroes.
Yeah, he just points out common sense. Yeah, why are you supporting this? It doesn't make any sense at all. So if you've tried to wrap your mind around that, why do the liberals choose the causes that they do? Kilmar Abrego Garcia, they fight with tooth and nail to try and paint this guy as the Maryland man, as this wonderful family man. We have wrongfully deported, I say we, our country under the Trump administration, wrongfully deported this wonderful family man and sent him back to El Salvador, which was against the court order, which said he couldn't be sent back to El Salvador. And you know, the congressman or senator, whoever he was from that area, goes all the way to El Salvador to sit down with this wonderful man, this poster child for the Boy Scouts. I mean, it's just sickening. It's like, what are you doing? And then it came out that, you know, the guy, Trump says, and along with others, says, hey, this guy's an MS-13 gang member. And the other side fights like tooth and nail to say, no, there's no evidence for that. You know, he's just a wonderful, sweet boy that's misunderstood. And they don't use that language, obviously, being hyperbolic. But they paint him that way. They're defending him like they defended George Floyd, like they defend the narrative, hands up, don't shoot, which was just not true. Like they defend the narrative, many good people on both sides that Trump supposedly said. And they cut out the part that says, I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis, but they leave that out. And Joe Biden repeated that over and over and over, and Barack Obama repeated that. I heard Joe Rogan say that's the reason why he kind of fell out with Barack Obama in terms of supporting him, is he said he repeated that lie. Everybody knows that's a lie, but they repeat it because it fits the narrative. And so this idea, why do they keep supporting these positions? Bill Maher realizes, hey, keep supporting these positions and you're slitting your own throat. Keep supporting men, biological men, playing in women's sports, and you're going to lose. That's at least an 80-20 issue. 80% of the country, probably more, probably closer to 90%, says, yeah, we don't want biological males playing against our daughters in female sports. What's the point of having female sports then? Just have sports. And if you just have sports, women aren't going to be involved in much of anything. Because men are bigger, men are stronger in generalities, bigger, stronger, faster, they're built differently from a woman, and they're just not going to be able to compete. That's why when men, biological men, come into the women's arenas to play sports, they just dominate, because they have an unfair advantage. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. It's the day after Mother's Day. I hope that you were sweet on your mom and on your wife, if she has given birth to your children, because being a mom is one of the hardest jobs in the world. So when we come back, we're going to play a clip from Melanie Phillips. It is eye-opening. You don't want to miss it. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We are talking about why the left grabs on to these positions and what we're seeing on college campuses where the protests that often turn violent and destructive against Israel. And they choose the side of Hamas over Israel, even though what happened on October 7th was one of the most barbaric, evil, gruesome things that it has that we could possibly imagine. Things that would make Hitler and his gang blush of what Hamas did. You know, the motto of Hamas, we love death as much as you love life. I mean, that group is so sick, so twisted, so evil, so satanic, that how could you support that? Well, here is a great summation of that from a lady named Melanie Phillips. She is a journalist and an author, and this is one of the best explanations I've ever heard.
The Western liberal mind conceives of itself as being good because it's liberal. The Western liberal tells him or herself, I'm a good person because I'm liberal, and I'm liberal because I'm a good person, which means that I believe in things like the brotherhood of man, conscience and compassion, looking after the wretched of the world, the poor, the wretched of the world, standing up against abuses of power. These are all good things, and that's why I'm a liberal. And I'm a liberal because of all these good things. So, one of the expressions of my goodness and my liberalism is that I support the Palestinian Arabs, who I think are an oppressed people, and they are oppressed by the Israelis, who have taken their land away from them, and they are oppressing them. Now, every part of that, in my view, is a lie. But put that to one side. This is what the liberal progressive thinks. And the liberal progressive thinks that supporting the Palestinians is therefore something that makes the liberal progressive a good person. October 7 happened, and suddenly you have a situation in which the people that the liberal progressive has supported as being oppressed, and everything they do is a legitimate defense or resistance against oppression, suddenly we can see that those people have turned into the most bloodthirsty savages that could ever be imagined. Not just people who kill, but who slaughter in a sadistic, barbaric, debauched and depraved fashion that people can't imagine ever happening. They have slaughtered, raped, beheaded, tortured, burned alive babies, children, women, elderly men and others, in which the people that they have supported as being oppressed are good people because they're victims, are these savages. And the people they have represented as oppressors are the victims. They can't have that. Because if they have that, if they admit that that is the case, then their entire worldview is shattered, because the people, you know, the cause they have supported as representing goodness is shown to be evil. And what does that make them? It makes them evil. So they can't have it. So what do? They go to extraordinary lengths to pretend that black is white, that justice is injustice, that oppression is resistance, and vice versa. So they have to represent the Israelis as being at fault. The Israelis are to blame for what's happened. So there is no better way of blaming people than accusing them of the very thing they are the victim of.
Projection.
So you accuse them of genocide. We hear it also regularly. The Israelis are accused of being Nazis. It's the same thing. It's not simply an offensive thing. It's a very deliberate thing, because if the Israelis are Nazis, then we are free. We, the liberal West, are free of any kind of guilt or any kind of association with bad things.
That was Melanie Phillips. The wisdom that she was espousing there is amazing. That's exactly the dilemma they find themselves in. I've been supporting the Palestinians and Hamas and saying that Israel's the bad guy, and boy, those sweet people there in Gaza, they're the good guys. But then what happens? The team that I've been supporting, they are proven. They've shown their true colors. They are evil with a capital E-V-I-L. It shatters, as she said, that shatters their worldview. They can't have that because they have to. I am moral and I am liberal, and liberalism and morality in their minds are inseparably linked. And so whatever the liberal cause is, well, that is a moral cause, and a moral cause is a liberal cause. It is so twisted. They are believing a lie, and when it's exposed as a lie, they double down on the lie. Well, it's just amazing to me. Rather than saying, "Hey, I was wrong," and some have said, "Hey, this is wrong." Now, Bill Maher, he believes lies, but he doesn't believe it to that extreme, and he sees that what is going on in the Democrat Party is that they've been taken over and hijacked by the extremists, and people like Bill Maher are trying to call that out. So, well, good for him doing that, but others have just left the party, and because it's I can't keep going in this direction. Well, here's what the Bible has to say about that. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes in drinking wine and valiant men in mixing strong drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the rights of the ones who are in the right. That's what we're seeing happen today. Now, I heard a panel of four pastors, and they were talking about, this idea that a pastor needs to remain neutral. People ought to be able to go to a church, and they have no idea how that pastor would vote, because he's just going to teach the Bible, and he's not going to get involved in anything political. And to those guys' credit, they said, you know, if you do that, this is not a question between Democrat and Republican anymore. It's not a question between, maybe this economic policy is better than that economic policy. As one of the guys pointed out, hey, in our world today, it's a question between good and evil. And as a pastor, you're either going to stand up for what is good and right and moral and true, or you're going to ride the fence of compromise. I'm not going to mention anything that some people could disagree on. So you're not going to talk about abortion. You're not going to talk about homosexuality. You're not going to talk about transgenderism. You're not going to talk about, right and wrong, punishing crime and law and order. You're just going to stay away from all those things. Well, you're not doing your job. And as they pointed out, you've ceased to have a voice as a prophet to the nation. And, God has called us as Christians to speak the truth in love. And we speak the truth. Now, I was called out, got an email from a listener, or used to be a listener. She says she's not listening anymore. She's not very happy with me. But to her credit, and I appreciate this, she wrote to me and she let me know she wasn't going to be listening anymore because I was a hypocrite and I didn't know what a Christian was. And, how dare I say anything about the Pope? And I talked about the Pope on Friday. The new Pope was selected on Thursday. I talked about the Pope on Friday. And so she did not like that at all. And so I thanked her for the email. And nobody likes getting nasty emails, but I'd rather somebody voice that so at least I can address it with them. And so I wrote her back and I said, thanks for your email. Obviously, I'm not your favorite guy. You don't like what I had to say. You believe I'm a hypocrite. And she said, I need to look up the word Christian in the dictionary or in the Bible or somewhere, and because I wasn't acting like a Christian. And she said, you said things about the Pope that were less than flattering. You've said things about Paula White and Joel Osteen. And I said, you know, we're commanded in the Bible, 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Why? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And I said, you know, when you test the papacy with the Word of God, do you find anything in Scripture that would lend yourself to believe that that's the way God wanted the New Testament church to be set up? I mean, Matthew chapter 16 is where the Catholic church will say, yeah, that's the primacy of Peter, and that's where the Lord set things up for the papacy. In Matthew 16, I say, you are Peter, Petros, little rock, but upon this rock, Petra, big rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And they say, well, that's Jesus handing the keys to Peter, and Peter is the first pope. Well, I don't interpret that scripture in Matthew 16 that way at all. And so many others don't. And so if you're going to build your whole system on that, which is a very disputed passage in terms of what he was saying, as I said Friday, it doesn't make any sense at all that Jesus would say, I'm building my church on Peter. And as I mentioned, you know, the emphasis in the New Testament, in the epistles, from the book of Acts onward, is not on Peter as much as it is on Paul, the Apostle Paul, and his missionary journeys, first, second, and third missionary journeys in the book of Acts. His salvation in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus, and then it follows him. And most of the letters in the New Testament, epistles in the New Testament, are from Paul. Well, it doesn't mean that Peter's not important. Paul said Peter was the apostle to the Jews, and he was the apostle to the Gentiles. Well, Peter is definitely important, but the Lord's not building his church on any man. He didn't build it on Paul. He didn't build it on Peter. He didn't build it on John, who was the oldest living disciple. He was the only one that died of natural causes and exiled on the island of Patmos, where he wrote the book of the Revelation. But all the other guys were killed for their faith. But here's the thing, the Lord is building his church on himself, upon this rock. As I said Friday, he separates that out. I think he used Peter as an illustration. Hey, you are Peter, and you're really not Peter, you're Simon. I changed your name to Peter, the rock, little rock. You are Petros, little rock. I am Petra. I am the rock of ages, cleft for you. And upon this rock, I will build my church. The Lord's building his church on himself. You and I don't come to a church where it's built on a man. It's built on the Son of Man, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I don't find that any evidence in the Scripture for the papacy. You know, I think obviously the Pope has lots and lots and lots of influence, and you want that guy to be a man of God. You want him to be a man who understands that it's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that a person is made right with God. But that's true for anybody. You know, you want people to come to know the truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So I said to this lady that wrote me, she got upset because I, you know, obviously not a fan of the prosperity gospel, and I think people need to be careful with the prosperity gospel. And Joel Osteen, Paula White, many others, Benny Hinn, many others that preach a prosperity gospel. And that's not the true gospel. And so as I said to her, have I become your enemy, Galatians 4:16, have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? I said, please show me in Scripture where I was wrong, because I don't want to be wrong. I want to tell people the truth. That's why I call this program Real Truth for Today. Well, she never replied back, and you know, I, from my perspective, I think she'd have a hard time explaining to me from Scripture where I was wrong. But she doesn't like it when you shine the light on somebody's belief system. well, I just think that's wrong. And I'm putting words in her mouth. She didn't say this, but that's the mindset of so many. How dare you? That's my truth. And you're saying my truth isn't right. Well, you don't have truth. You don't own truth. It's not my truth, your truth, his truth, her truth. There's just truth. And where do we get truth? Well, truth is from the word of God. Jesus said in John 17:17, in his great high priestly prayer, Father, sanctify them in the truth. Set them apart in the truth. Your word is truth. And so the book I wrote that drops tomorrow, The Devil's Newsroom, is all about exposing the lies of the devil with the truth of God. Because make no mistake, the devil is a liar and the father of lies, and he is the best liar because he tells lies that sound so much like the truth, and he gets people to believe these lies and then just to hold to them, to cling to them, and it will take them all the way to hell. So we need to combat the lies with the truth. And we need, as the old Farrell and Farrell song says, you have to be able to find it in the Word, because, Father, your Word is truth. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we are up against the break. But when we come back, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, I would love to talk with you and hear from you. So maybe you have a short little Mother's Day testimony. Those are always exciting to hear from. So give me a call and let's talk. 888-589-8840. I'll talk to you after the break. Preborn is there for hurting mothers and at-risk babies, standing strong in the darkest corners of our nation. By sponsoring an ultrasound, you can be there too. One ultrasound is just $28 and doubles a baby's chance at life. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we are opening up the phone lines, 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please give me a call. I did want to play this clip from Seth Gruber. Seth Gruber is fighting for the lives of the unborn. He's been on the program before. He has the 1916 Project. I'm going off memory there. I think it's the 1916 Project. Not to be confused with the 1619 Project, but the 1916 Project. He talks about the roots of abortion and Planned Parenthood, does an excellent job. We showed that movie to our church, and it was eye-opening. But this is what he has to say about he calls it the sacrament of abortion, so important and critical to the left.
Satan would kill God if he could, but he can't. So he kills babies because he knows it wounds the heart of the father.
Absolutely.
And causes chaos on the earth. You see, abortion is actually the sacrament of Satan. Because abortion says, you must die so I can live. But Christ says, no, I must die so you can live. And chooses to enter human history in a uterus of all locations to redeem mankind from their sins. This is why Peter Kraft, the Catholic philosopher, who's still alive today, spoke more prophetically on the issue of abortion than any Protestant I've ever heard. And he said, don't you know, church, abortion is the demonic parody of the Eucharist. That's why it uses the same holy, holy words. This is my body, but with the opposite blasphemous meaning.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a coincidence that the central phrase of the entire abortion industrial complex and the culture of death today are the same words of our Savior at the First Communion, this is my body? And because Planned Parenthood is not only the largest abortion provider in the world, they're the largest provider of transgender drugs. They call both of those mutilations healthcare. Did Did you know this? What do they call transgender surgeries? Gender affirming. What do they call abortion? Reproductive. Right. They call them both health care. And so if they can't get the babies in the womb, they'll get them outside the womb. They defend both practices using bodily autonomy arguments. This is my body.
Yeah.
If I want to kill what's inside of my body, then who cares? Because the serpent told me in Genesis 3, ye shall be as gods. Abortion is the sacrament of the religion of secular progressivism. So when Christ says, this is my body, I go break it for you now. Take and eat in remembrance of me. Guys, all human conflict is ultimately theological. It is not a coincidence that the argument for abortion is quoting the words of our Savior.
Wow. Very, very insightful. I'd never thought about it in those terms. That was Seth Gruber. This is my body. And what do we hear from the left? My body, my choice. Unless, of course, it deals with the vaccine, and then you have no choice. You take this or lose your job, as we saw just a few years ago. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Lynn on the line from Arkansas. Lynn, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yeah, hi. Thank you. I wanted to say this one phrase, and it may have been from your show. Facts don't care about your feelings. And so many Christians know nothing about prophecy and the role that different churches play in that, and the ecumenical movement. And this Pope, I don't know much about him yet, but Mike Gendron, who used to be a Catholic and is, is very versed on Catholic issues.
Mm-hmm.
Is going to be on the Christian Worldview next weekend, and that's a show that's on AFR.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned the ecumenical movement in a Sunday school class, and just nobody made any comment, and it was because a woman was criticizing pastors for not coming together, with all the different faiths and everything.
Right.
So anyway, and I wondered what year you went to seminary and that did they still teach prophecy? Because I know that you talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question. So facts don't care about your feelings. I think it was Ben Shapiro that came up with that. It's a great statement, and he might not have originated it, but I've heard Robert Jeffress say that too. Facts are stubborn things. I went to seminary. I was called in the ministry in 1996, and went to seminary at Southeastern Seminary. I was there for a year, and then came back home to Houston to work at Champion Forest Baptist Church. DeMond Shook was the pastor, and he graciously kind of took me under his wing. And I finished seminary at Southwestern at the Extension School that they had there in Houston. Southwestern's in Fort Worth. And then got my doctorate from Southeastern Seminary in 2013. And as far as prophecy goes, it's sad that guys don't talk about it. And my pastor, DeMond Shook, he didn't really like talking about prophecy because he said, I just don't feel as confident in what I'm saying, there, because there are a lot of different interpretations. But I've done a lot of messages on the second coming of Jesus. I think, we encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing near, the day of his return. And so I'm in a series right now called When the Son of Man Comes, from Matthew 24 and 25. And we talk a lot about prophecy on the program. We had a gentleman on last week where he talked about what the millennial kingdom is going to be like. And so, I agree with you, Lynn. More and more pastors need to talk to their congregations about what is to come because the Lord has told us in His Word, this is the future. And as I said yesterday, I talked about the tribulation and the great tribulation. You don't want to be around for that. And so the Lord has told us that He's coming to rescue us. He's not destined us for wrath, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, but for obtaining salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to wait eagerly for a Savior who is coming, who snatches us away, raptures us away before the rise of the Antichrist. So I appreciate the call in, and thanks for your kind words and for listening to the program. Well, we have Jerry on the line from Texas. Jerry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor. I tune into your word. I try most days to tune in. I grew
Thank
up
you.
Catholic. Mm-hmm. I went to parochial school.
Yeah, me too.
I started seeking at an early age. The call was there. I was seeking. But I didn't find the Lord until 1981. I was seeking truth. I went to Catholic parochial school to seminary, 4.5 years in a Catholic seminary.
And, oh, wow.
And,
okay.
And celibacy was not my calling, because Scripture says it's not good for man to be alone.
Right.
And so I left the seminary. I ended up in the Air Force. I did a lot of traveling. And so I went to Turkey and then to Philippines, to Thailand. And so I got to see both sides of the world. But listening to you and what you speak about the rock, and Catholics get hung up on Peter, the rock. No, it was Peter who denied Christ 3 times. And then he said that, you know, he acknowledged Christ, and Christ mm-hmm. turned around, and from Simon, it became Peter, the rock, the faith, your faith. And that's what it is. Faith comes by hearing the word, not of the priest, not of the pope, who is fallible, mm-hmm. but the word of God. And so the word does the judging, not the priest, not the pope, but the word. Mm-hmm. And when all is said and done, you know, those who put their faith in Christ as Lord and Savior are saved. That's
right.
Truth.
Right.
And so, you know, I've been through life, I've been through many struggles, but I put my faith in Christ in 1981. I gave my life to the Lord from the top of my head to the tips of my toes. Yours. It was very simple. And the most soothing warmth passed through my body when I said that. And I read about it in Scripture. How many? There are 1,440 minutes in a day. So all who are believers and not believers out there, I question, how many minutes of the day do you put listening to the word? If mm-hmm. you're not listening to the word, then you're missing out on truth.
Right.
And so if we start the day, each day, which I did after I found truth, the start of each day, it makes the day so good. And that's all I'm saying, is we have to listen to the word.
That's exactly right.
You know, I'm saying, you know, the word is truth.
Right. So you got to find it in the Word. And so we have to search out everything. I love what it says about the Berean Christians. When they heard the Apostle Paul preach, they received the Word with gladness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. I tell people that all the time. Hey, don't just accept it because I say it. Go check me out. Now, in our church, we always provide sermon notes with supporting scriptures in there and say, you look this up, you know, and don't just trust that, well, Pastor Jeff said it, so it must be true. I said, no, for any teacher, if they're doing that with the Apostle Paul, we need to do that with any teacher we hear. And we need to check them out with the Word, because the Word is our authority. And, you know, there's a reason why Jesus is called the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and God has given us His Word, the Bible. It's God-breathed. It's inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so Romans 3:4 says, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. And we are going to learn one day, every single person, because every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we are going to learn one day that everything the Lord said in His Word is true. From everlasting to everlasting, He is God, and heaven and earth shall pass away. Jesus said, but my word shall not pass away. I appreciate it, Jerry. God bless you, my brother. We have John on the line from Arkansas. John, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. How are you?
Good. How are you, John?
Good. Hey, I had a quick question. So the lady that sent you the email, had the disagreements with you regarding the teachers and Pope and all that. I have that same discussion with family members. So, I have several family members that enjoy listening to Joel Osteen, and I'll talk to him about it and say he's a false teacher and abused 2 Timothy 4:3, and it quickly becomes an unpleasant discussion. And I make clear, hey, I'm not saying you're wrong or a bad person. I'm just saying this person isn't teaching you the truth of the Bible. And they've even commented, he makes me feel good. I'm like, that's right. Not what the Bible's about. So right. And I know you've had conversations with family members. So I just didn't know if there's a way you determine that is better to deal with those family conversations or even the neighbor. We have the same thing with the neighbor. Invited her to church a dozen times, but I listen to Joel Osteen on TV, so I'm fine,
Right, right. Yeah, it's very difficult, John, with family. And especially if they're listening to something that they would say, well, this must be good, look at his big church and look how he smiles and he seems to be so filled with joy and he's promising prosperity and all that. He's giving people what the lost man wants. He wants promotion. He wants health. He wants wealth. He wants God's favor. He doesn't want suffering. He doesn't want humility. He doesn't want to come through repentance and faith. He just wants God to give to him. It's exactly, and John MacArthur points this out, it's exactly what the devil did with Jesus. Hey, all the kingdoms of the world I give you if you just bow down and worship me. That's what he has to offer, and that's what the prosperity gospel offers people. Christianity doesn't offer that. The Lord doesn't offer that. He doesn't offer material wealth. He doesn't offer material blessings. He offers internal blessings, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And he offers that, the peace with God and the peace of God, if we'll come to him. But the devil offers things, kind of the shiny lure on the hook as he is fishing for souls. And that catches so many people. So I would just encourage you to love on your family, shine before them, look for opportunities to gently say things. But, those things can turn into big arguments and then nobody wins on that. So I would just be really sensitive and just ask the Lord, God, show me what I say here, what I say in those situations that can be used to help and not to hurt, and to let people know, hey, you got to find this stuff in the Word. You got to look it up to see, is this really true? So I appreciate that, John. I'm sorry, Carly in Tennessee, we didn't get to you, but you can always reach me, Pastor Jeff, at fromhisheart.org, Pastor Jeff at fromhisheart.org, or you can connect with me on Twitter X, at Jeff, J-E-F-F, S-C-H-R-E-V-E, at Jeff Shreve. Well, hey, go out today, as we always say, because we are on this earth to be his witnesses, and we want to be good and faithful slaves to the Lord Jesus. Go out today, shine for Christ. No matter what's going on in life, keep trusting him, keep praising him, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And guess what? God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.